Hi, this is Corey Turner, and along with my wife Simone, we are the senior pastors of Pneuma Church. I wanted to thank you for listening to our podcast today. You're about to hear a message from one of our team that we pray builds your faith and empowers you to follow Jesus more closely. Enjoy the message.
It's so great to see you. How are you? How awesome is Jesus? How awesome is Jesus? That was such beautiful worship, guys. I gave them praise in the first service, and I'm going to do it again. I just want to honour all of you, Ian and Melissa, who is leading. Just such a beautiful time. Tim has had his work cut out for him, putting it all together this week. These guys got here at 6:30 today. And they were trying to push for earlier. Me and Tim had a few conversations. They were like 6:15, and I reckon you would have said 6 if we, yeah. And these guys get here earlier than anyone, and they never complain about it. They're like, you know, I mean, Tim even said to me on the phone this week, he was like, oh, I got up at 5 last week, so I just got up and just came down. I'm like, what? And I just love the passion and the heart that you guys have. I want to honour you for being so incredible. And just, I'm really sensing that the Lord is, there's a ramp up in the spirit, in the worship. I don't know if you're feeling it, but it's beautiful. So thank you, thank you, thank you. You may go. I'd love you to stay, but, you know, I know what that's like. I've done that before where they go, can the worship team stay? And 5 hours later, you're like, I really need a drink of water. So you can go and have a little rest for a bit. But yeah, it's exciting what's happening here. God is doing something really special. And I say this honestly. I come to East and I'm here and I thank God for Pneuma East. I'm really excited. I feel like we are on the precipice of the Lord doing something incredible. And much has been beautiful, what has been. So that's not an insult in any way of what has been. But I just feel like it's like glory to glory. You know, the scripture talks about that. And I just feel like God is just, it's like there's a Christmas present under the tree. You know, when you were a little kid and there'd be a Christmas present wrapped and you'd be like, I wonder what that is. And I feel like that's where we're at. At Pneuma East. And in fact, this isn't even part of my message, sorry. But I, in the worship in the first service, I actually looked up at the ceiling and I actually physically saw, and then I had to look again, but I saw greenery, like a rainforest. It was like the overhead of a rainforest, and I could hear the sound of the rainforest, you know, the crickets and the, you know, that beautiful sound. Have you ever had that sound? And I could feel like droplets of rain. And I said to the Lord, why am I seeing this? And he was like, rebirth and renewal is coming to East. So get excited, guys, because I feel like he's going to surprise us. I almost feel like we're just going to be doing our thing. And then all of a sudden, it's going to be like, I don't know if you heard what happened. I'm sure you did, in the city, Super Bowl Sunday, August Super Bowl Sunday, where it was just a normal Sunday. And then 12 hours later or 14 hours later, we get off the floor. And we're like, oh, wow, God kind of interrupted us. I feel like we are on the verge of that. And I say, Jesus, I am ready. Because, you know, we gave our hearts to Jesus because he is incredible. He is God above every other God. And we didn't surrender our lives just to have a nice coffee at the end of a pretty service with nice worship. I mean, I'm getting ready. Let me tell you my personal story, all right? I'm actually preparing to raise people from the dead. That's my private study that I'm doing at the moment. I'm like, Jesus, bring the dead people, because that's what it says you're going to do. It says this is what we're supposed to do as your people. So I'm actually at that level right now going, I have no skill for this, Jesus, but I am ready to see your signs and wonders come across the earth in powerful ways. I'm even thinking, you know, like, have you ever walked down the street before and you see someone in a wheelchair or you see someone who's sick and hurting and you just go, oh gee, I wish they knew Jesus. Well, what about you're the person who stops and says, hey, do you know Jesus? and you see them healed on the spot. I've got stories that I'm going to share today around some of the things that the Lord, that I've experienced firsthand. I loved hearing Pastor Simone hear about your son, and you know, I have a real passion for people that can't have children, because I was told that too, and have two beautiful children now, so take that, devil. So anyway, today, when you walk out of this place, I am believing that a miracle is firstly going to happen in your heart. I'm believing that if you're feeling tired, if you're feeling worn out, if there's something going on in your world that you're just like, God, I don't know what to do about this, I'm actually believing you're going to walk out of here going, the Lord spoke to me, the Holy Spirit refreshed me. And so let me just quickly pray, and I'm going to go into my message today. Jesus, Father, Holy Spirit, we welcome you into this auditorium right now. You are the focus. I thank you that when you enter the room, lives are changed, lives are transformed. Not just a little bit, but total wholeness. People are set free. Demons are cast out. Long-standing illnesses are gone in a moment. That's the kind of God we serve. And we just say, come. We come with that today, Lord. We come expecting. And Holy Spirit, we welcome you. And we say, be the centerpiece this morning. Be the focus. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen, amen. I want to talk to you today about speaking the language of the Holy Spirit. I love the Holy Spirit. And if you know Jesus today, I'm sure you do, and you love him too. If you don't know Jesus, you're going to have an opportunity. He wants to meet you today, and you will experience the Holy Spirit for yourself today. But I want to talk to you a little bit about the language of the Holy Spirit. How does he speak? What's his personality? What does the Bible say? And at the end, we're actually going to have some time where I believe that the Lord will fill you afresh. And so I want to start by firstly talking about the beautiful personality of Holy Spirit. We haven't got time to go into all the scriptures. That's not the focus today. But let me tell you what the Bible says, and then you can go do your own study. He is a person. He is kind. He is sensitive. Do you know the Holy Spirit prays? He is your friend. He loves to reveal what he knows. He has a will. He has a mind. He loves. He has intelligence, supernatural intelligence. He is good. He experiences grief. He gives power to you. He is a comforter and he is a teacher. How awesome that that's what Jesus said he left behind. He left this beautiful Holy Spirit. And he's right throughout the scripture. You know, if you've been a Christian a while, you'll know the story. As soon as we say Holy Spirit, you probably think upper room, book of Acts, Holy Spirit comes with fire. But actually, if you study from Genesis 1, the Holy Spirit is there. He's there at creation. He's there when man is created. He's there through the building of the tabernacle. There's so many scriptures where you can find where it's been Holy Spirit is being talked about. So right through history from the beginning, the Holy Spirit is with us. And then, obviously, the beautiful story in the upper room. We're going to talk a little bit about that. And I want to focus on why there is a distinction between being born of the Holy Spirit and being filled with the Holy Spirit, and what the scriptures say about that, and why we need to understand this. So I want to start by going to John 20, verses 19 to 22. And I'm going to give you lots of scriptures today. But this is a story captured when Jesus has risen from the dead. He's come out of that grave and he goes to see the disciples for the first time. Can you imagine how wild that must have been, right? Could you just, like, we talk about it because it's the stories we know, but I'm like, that must have been wild. They've buried him. They've seen him die on the cross. They've buried him. And then he turns up. And he's like, here I am. And what does he say in that moment? He says, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. Verse 22. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. And then he hints, if we go to that story, but into Luke 24, verse 39, he says, I am going to send you what my father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. So he's breathed on them. Then he's gone, but you need to stay and receive the power, the Spirit from on high, the power from on high. And then we get to Acts 1, verse 8. Again, Jesus is speaking, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So this is what goes on in my head when I think about this. Jesus breathes on the Holy Spirit. He says, receive the Holy Spirit, right? But then he says, let's wait for the Holy Spirit in the upper room as well. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm like, I'm confused, okay? So you have to go back to the scriptures and go, what's happening? If they've already received the Holy Spirit, why do they have to wait for the Holy Spirit again? Well, this is what I believe. It's what a lot of theologians believe, and that is that there is a distinction between being born of the Spirit and being filled with the Spirit. So being born of the Spirit is what happens when everyone gives their life to Jesus. So if you've ever gone Holy Spirit speaking in tongues, if that's the place you've gone to, yes, of course. But if you don't speak in tongues today, I want to tell you, when you give your life to Jesus, the Holy Spirit enters you. Because Father, Son, Holy Spirit is the Trinity. It's the triune being. You can't separate them. So I want to encourage you today that this power that is from the Holy Spirit resides on the inside of you. It's there, and you received him when you received Jesus as your Lord. But being filled by the Holy Spirit is something utterly different. Before I go there, before I run ahead, I want to just show you that there is a distinction in Scripture between those two things. So we're going to go to Titus 3, verse 5, that says, he saved us not because of righteous things that we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. So when you are born of the Holy Spirit, you have this rebirth and renewal. You give your life to Jesus, everything becomes new. Romans 8 verses 9 to 10 says the same thing. It says, you, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but you're in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life. So we see that when you give your life to Christ, you're born of the Holy Spirit. But then the upper room, Acts 2, verses 1 to 4. There's more, and it's not a set of steak knives. This is what happens, Acts 2, verses 1 to 4. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place, and suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them, and all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. What a beautiful experience. I often try to imagine what that must have been like because it would have just been such an emotional roller coaster, wouldn't it? We're so used to these stories that we forget some of the emotional stuff that must have been taking place in those disciples. They'd given up everything, spent 3 years traveling around, given up their businesses. They saw Jesus do miraculous things. They saw people being raised from the dead. They saw blind eyes open. And then this man that they loved is on a cross. Imagine what that must have been like. Then he dies. Then he comes back to life. You'd be like, up, down, up, down. Your emotions would just be like, because they were still trying to understand some of the sayings that he was saying to them. And then next thing you know, he breathes on them and says, receive the Holy Spirit. They receive this refreshing. And then he says, wait. He ascends to heaven. He's gone. They're probably feeling some sort of grief, not really understanding what this means. And so I can just imagine them in this upper room. And, you know, I did a bit of study on what the upper room must have looked like. and it was often a room for people that were a little bit wealthy. They would have their normal house down the bottom, and then they'd have a room where they would have like large gatherings. So this would have been at someone's house that knew Jesus or knew the disciples, and these houses were often in areas where people could hear if there was noise happening, you know. So it's in like a city centre. So they're up there, and they're we pray now. As soon as we pray, everyone sits, puts their head down and starts speaking in tongues, right? There, they didn't have that yet, right? So they're just like, what do we do? Maybe they started to pray the prayers of their forefathers. Maybe they were just like breaking bread and eating together. Maybe they were walking around the room going, he said to wait, not sure what happened. What should we do now? Well, let's pray that prayer. Let's sing that song. Let's just see what the Lord does. And then all of a sudden, Acts 2, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place, and then that sound, the blowing of the mighty wind comes and the Holy Spirit fills them. And I just love this analogy that they were born of the Spirit, they received that breath, but then there's being filled with the Spirit, which is receiving the power that comes when the Holy Spirit is inside you. There's miracles, signs, and wonders that take place. And I want to say to you today that it's not enough for you just to be born of the Spirit. We also need to be filled with the Spirit. And I know this because the scripture tells me, and I'll read some more scriptures for you, but he wants to release signs, wonders, and miracles through you, not the person on the platform. There's nobody more spiritual. There's no, you know what I mean? You know how we do that? We go, oh, that person can do dot, dot, dot because they're them. No, you have a part to play in seeing signs and wonders released on the earth. Wow, wow, wow. That's so exciting. And so you're meant to have this fresh infilling. And in fact, when you go to that scripture, I'm jumping all over the place, so slides person, I might just tell you where I'm going as I go. But when you get to that, you get to John 20, where he talks about he breathed on them and says, receive the Holy Spirit. The Greek for that actually intimates that it was like wind in the sails, and that it was ongoing. So it wasn't like a one-time event. This is something that happens like a boat with no wind just sits in the water. The wind has to constantly take it on. That's what Jesus was saying when he said, breathe the Holy Spirit. He was actually saying, I am going to constantly be the wind in your sails. The Holy Spirit is going to be the wind in your sails. And we need that ourselves. We need a daily fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit. You might have had a really dramatic conversion to the Lord, and that's wonderful, but there's so much more. Every day the Lord wants you to go, oh my gosh, the Holy Spirit did this. The Holy Spirit filled me. On the way here, I was praying and asking the Lord to give me the right words to speak today, and I felt a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit. I actually physically felt something different happen to me as I was coming here. And I believe the same for you, that he wants the anointing, not just sometimes. He wants you to be filled every day. He wants, you know, I believe there's people here, you're struggling with depression and anxiety. And I want to tell you, the Holy Spirit power that is within you can set you free in a moment. He wants you every day to wake up and go, Jesus, without you, I can't do this. Holy Spirit, just fresh infilling. I need a fresh infilling. And you watch what he will do. I know people that have been completely set free from anxiety and depression simply just because they trusted that the Lord wanted the Holy Spirit to move on the inside of you so that you were transformed and changed. And this isn't just for a few people. This isn't just for some people. This is for every single person. How do I know that? Let's read Acts 2, 38, 39. So this is Peter responding at the people that had heard them being filled with power on that day. And Peter says, repent and be baptized, every single one of you, in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And in just in case you're wondering, the promise is for you and your children and for all of those who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. So if you're wondering who it is, it's for you, it's for your children, it's for your other children, it's for the other people that are out there that you don't know. That's basically what that verse is saying, which I kind of like. It's like, so there's no doubt the Holy Spirit is for every single one of you. Acts 2, verse 33, what is that promise? And the Father, as he has promised, gave him the Holy Spirit to pour out upon us, just as you see and hear today. Father, we want that Holy Spirit. Father, we want the Holy Spirit to move in power today. And we ask you to pour it out again. Pour it out, pour it out, pour it out in Jesus' name. And I would even say, if I just put my like theological hat on, this lack of distinction that we've made from being born and being filled has confused the church. We actually have to be really aware that they are two different things. And I love what Dr. Lloyd Jones wrote in the early 1900s. He was a Welsh Protestant minister, did not move in Pentecostal circles, but this is what he said. He said, "It's possible for one to be a believer and therefore to have the Holy Spirit and still not know the sealing of the Spirit." Sealing is mentioned in the scriptures three times, and it's another way of talking about the power of the Holy Spirit. I am not sure that this belief in separate and distinct experiences is not one of the most vital of all Christian doctrines as we think of the need of revival and reawakening of the Christian church, and would even go as far to suggest that the poverty of spiritual experience today is very largely to be attributed to the fact that people have not drawn this distinction. So he's talking a little bit old English here, but basically he's saying this theology is just as important as reawakening and revival, and that the reason why we have a lack of the Holy Spirit moving in our lives today is because we haven't made the distinction of being born and being filled and being sealed. You know, I love this idea of what it means to be sealed. If we go back to when those scriptures were written, the three scriptures where that is mentioned, that word sealed kind of refers to this idea of a certificate that authenticates something that's been bought. Something expensive. So what does that mean? It means we're sealed with an internal inheritance. We're secured at his possession. We have the papers. It means we have the evidence that the Holy Spirit is within us. We are sealed by him. And the truth is, no matter how much we love Jesus, no matter how incredible getting saved was and coming to him, we need this fresh infilling every day, and we need different infillings for different purposes and things that are happening in our lives. You know, the things that I'm doing today, I was not doing 20 years ago. I need a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit. I need him to be, in certain times of my life, different aspects of his personality need to come out. Sometimes I need supernatural intelligence. Sometimes I need comfort. You know, when my dad died, I needed Holy Spirit, the comforter. When I'm praying for my kids, I need Holy Spirit, the teacher. When I'm praying for abundance or paying bills and finances, I need him to be my guide. I need him to instruct me. And he is all those things. And when we have that fresh infilling of who he is, he becomes what we need for the moment that we're in. Amen. It's so wonderful. And we can understand that Jesus said, "I have to go so the Holy Spirit can come," because you're going to need it, basically, right? And so it's wonderful having this Holy Spirit, this continual wind in our sails to experience again and again. Now, with that in mind, I want to talk to you about the language of the Holy Spirit. How does he talk? How do we communicate with him? Because I think sometimes when we're talking about someone we can't necessarily see, it's hard to imagine them as a personality, isn't it? But he's as real as the person sitting next to you right now, maybe a bit nicer. Never know. Depends who you're sitting next to. All right. So I'm joking. Don't look at that. Don't look at each other weird, all right? Okay. So part of the evidence of the language of the Holy Spirit is speaking in tongues. And I think it's very misunderstood. Speaking in tongues is very misunderstood. I want to share some little things that the scripture says about that. And I want to just say to you that one of the common misconceptions is that, you know, I grew up with this. Oh, you mustn't have the Holy Spirit if you don't speak in tongues. Well, obviously that's not true if you're born of the Spirit, right? So you all have the Holy Spirit, but we also need the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's really what the book of Acts was. It was about him coming in power. And I want to show you this little scripture that made me laugh. I was reading about Paul. He was writing a letter to the Corinthians, and he says this in 1 Corinthians 14 verse 8. He says, it sounds a bit cocky to me. Tell me what you think. He says, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than any of you. And I'm like, how does he know that he's writing a letter, right? So he's not there. How does he know that he speaks in tongues more than any of them? Like, is he keeping tabs on people? Is there spies in the camp? I don't know what's going on. Like, it would have been impossible for him to know that, except for one thing. When you speak in tongues, this is what he had an understanding of. The power of God was flowing through him. And so he could tell because the power was not flowing through them. And so when he was going, I thank God I speak in tongues more than any of you, it's because he was experiencing the evidence of speaking in tongues in his life. The seal of the Holy Spirit was on his life. And this reminds me of this story my friend Vicky, who's a pastor here in Melbourne, shared with me once. She was on a missions trip to Africa with a team, and they were playing the Jesus movie, and she was telling me that they would stand behind the screen as the movie was playing and people had come to watch, and they would just pray as the movie was on. And this one time there was a bunch of them standing in a circle, and the witch doctor from the village came and was speaking curses. They couldn't understand what he was saying, but he came down behind the screen and started speaking curses over the prayer team. And some of the prayer team would look at him and were kind of freaking out. And then they started to feel physically sick, and some of them started vomiting, right? So it's like full-on spiritual warfare. And Vicky started to recognize, hang on a minute, this is like something's going on here. So she said to everyone, don't look at that guy. Close your eyes, start speaking in tongues, and start praising the Lord. So everyone just puts their heads down. They start speaking in tongues, speaking in tongues. They just don't look at this guy. And as they do, they start to feel better. The sickness starts to leave. And the witch doctor gets frustrated and just puts his arms up and leaves because he realizes he can't do anything. That's the power of the Holy Spirit right there. That's the seal of the Holy Spirit. You know, I'm thinking of countless stories where this has happened in our lives. I'll share two quickly. I shared this in the first service where I was getting my son's haircut at a hairdresser's, and I was in a rush, you know, and he hates getting his hair cut, so it's all a bit stressful at this time. You know, he was about 8 at the time, and we're sitting there and I'm thinking, I just want to get it done so I can do the groceries and get all the other stuff done. And the lady that's cutting his hair, she's like moving really slowly and she looks like she's in pain. And finally she said, I'm so sorry, I had a fall yesterday. I fell right down my driveway, which was really steep, and I'm in so much pain. And she showed me all the grazes. She pulled her arm up. And I just, like, the compassion just came in my head, right? But at the same time, I was warring with being in a rush. So I was just like, oh, I'm so sorry. And then the Lord's like, excuse me, you've got the power of the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. Are you really going to just sit there, or are you going to say something? So I just went, okay. I said, would you like me to pray for you? And she goes, what do you mean? And I said, I'm a Christian. I believe Jesus heals. Would you like me to pray for you? She goes, all right. So while she's cutting my son's hair, I put my hand on her shoulder. And I was like, in the name of Jesus, we just pray healing. Like in this busy shop, she just stops and I just pray for her. And then she starts crying. She's like, I can feel all this heat through my arms. What's happening? What's happening? I said, that's the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit moving through you. And by the end of that haircut, she was like, oh, the pain's disappearing. I can't believe it. And she just kept going, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. He wants us to carry this power. I'm remembering a time, this is about 15 years ago now, and I don't share this story very publicly very often, but I felt to today. So I run the Melbourne Gospel Choir that performs on Carols by Candlelight a lot. And in our early years, there were lots of, you know, we were sort of just growing in our gift, and it was kind of amazing that we got asked to sing on these TV shows, to be honest, because we're all just a bunch of worship leaders from churches all around Melbourne. It's really amazing story. But this one particular night, I'd almost pulled out of doing that year because there'd been a lot of politics in the choir. I started to doubt my ability to lead the thing. Have you ever done this? I'm like, there's lots of people that are better than me, that sing better than me, that are smarter than me. And I tried to pull out of leading it. And my beautiful friend who now runs the choir for me, Judd, he was like, Roma, you're not pulling out. You're going to be there. And the whole night was really frustrating. When you're performing on television, there's like a gazillion rehearsals, right? And so we had to do all these rehearsals. We were singing with this guy, and it was the song was Operator Information, Get Me Jesus on the Line. It was that song, right? Which is an awesome song if it's in the right key, which it didn't happen to be on this particular night. So we were meant to start the song a cappella, which means no music. So we had to know the key when we walked in. And the lead singer who was singing, who for obvious reasons I won't mention this person's name, but they started in the wrong key. And so we, 15 of us, all looked at each other, and we're like trying to talk on the side of our mouth because we're on television. He started in the wrong key, which meant that the soprano part was now going to be the alto part. The bass part was, you know, the tenor. It was so stressful. All the musicians are like, yep, I get it. And so we're frantically trying to work out what our part's going to be. And so he starts, Operator, give me G's, doing this big long thing, but we know he's in the wrong key, but he doesn't know. And then the band comes in, he goes, one, two, three, Operator, Informer. And like it took us about 30 seconds before we got the key. It was horrible, right? And so we all get off the stage, like 3 minutes of hell. That's the honest truth. It sounded horrible. And we were all like, we did all that rehearsal. It was terrible. And there's me going, I should have pulled out when I said I was going to. This is all my fault. Jesus, why am I here? Anyway, we're in our dressing room feeling all a bit down and despondent. And this is where the Holy Spirit comes in. Someone, if I said their name, you'd know who they were. They came in and they said, Roma, so-and-so is in their dressing room. So there was a star on that particular year who hadn't performed on television for about 15 years. They'd had a really severe addictions, drugs, alcohol, and had sort of been out of the spotlight for a really long time. And so they were having massive anxiety about performing again, right? And this other person went, oh, Roma and the Melbourne Gospel Choir are Christians. Maybe I'll get them to come in and pray for you. And she was like, I'll do anything. Yes, please. And so I'm like, all right. So we go into this person's room and, you know, it's someone I'd grown up watching on television. And as soon as we all stood in this circle because the dressing rooms are tiny. They're like smaller than a bathroom. And we all went and sort of huddled around this person and I put my hand on it and it was like a movie. You know when someone touches something, and I'm a sci-fi nut, so maybe you haven't seen these kind of movies, but you put your hand and all of a sudden a flash of all these things happen. Spot the prophet, right? So I put my hand on her and all of a sudden I'm seeing all this stuff and I'm like, how do you pray over a person that doesn't know Jesus and never goes to church? So I just started to prophetically pray. I was like, Jesus, I thank you that this person was born for such a time as this. I've got my eyes closed. She has a destiny and you have known her since she was born. Father God, we just ask you to release your peace over this person. And in that moment, I felt the Holy Spirit. Like I felt like it was like the portion of the Holy Spirit for that moment. And kept my eyes closed. We're all praying. And then I opened my eyes and this person's this close to my face, looking up at me, tears streaming down her face. And she goes, what was that? And I go, what was what? And she said, that feeling. I said, that's Jesus loving you. That's the Holy Spirit. And she went, oh, this is wonderful. That person eventually gave their lives to Jesus. But we walked out of that room, right? So this is me without Holy Spirit, feeling like I'm not good enough, feeling like I don't have what it takes. Then all the stuff happens and it's horrible. And then the Holy Spirit turns up and changes somebody's life. And we all walked out. And I remember we were all so quiet, all the choir. We were just like, what just happened? We were so surprised by Jesus. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. When we ask him to come and freshly infill us, you have power for your day. You have power for everything that he wants you to do. And it doesn't just affect you. It affects your families. It affects the people around you. If you would just have faith to believe that you could be that person that the Holy Spirit would use. Let me quickly just go to three characteristics of speaking and understanding the language of the Holy Spirit. And then we're going to ask him to fill us again. So get ready, all right? Get your hearts ready. So the first thing I want to say is the language of the Holy Spirit is a different level of communication. It's a different level of communication. So if we think about that in terms of speaking in tongues, when you pray in tongues, you are actually praying in a different realm. That's the only way I know how to explain it. You know, we pray with words, we're communicating to God in a level we understand. When we pray in tongues, we're communicating in God's language. That's kind of what it's like. If we read 1 Corinthians 14, verse 15, it says this, "Well then, what shall I do? I will pray in the Spirit, and I also will pray with words I understand. I will sing in the Spirit, and I will also sing in words I understand." So there is a clear distinction in Scripture that there's ways that you can pray where you're not going to understand what you're praying. And that's really a speaking in tongues. Point two, we can come into agreement with what the Holy Spirit is praying. Did you know the Holy Spirit prays? I think that's amazing. Does anyone else think? I'm just like, wow, the Holy Spirit prays. Let's read Romans 8, verses 26 to 27. "And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father who knows all hearts knows what the Spirit is saying. For the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's will." What an amazing scripture. You know, this scripture is not even talking about speaking in tongues directly. It's talking about the Holy Spirit praying. And I find this interesting because what? What's happening? Well, there's two things. One, he prays with groanings. Two, he prays in harmony for you in God's will. So let's go to the groanings part. The nature of the Holy Spirit is so beautiful is that he's got fervor. That's what groanings mean, passion. It's like, I have no words for this. It's like when Collingwood wins the grand final, right, at our house. Ted, my husband, starts yelling at the top of his voice. Like, they often don't have a voice if Collingwood wins, which is only three times a century, but let's not go there. He's not even smiling at me now. I'm in big trouble. So it's like they've got no voice left because they're yelling at the top of their lungs. There's no voice. There's no words. It's just yelling. It's screaming. It's groaning. That's what the Holy Spirit is doing when he's praying for you. He is so passionate about seeing you transformed that it's bigger than words. Wow, I think that's amazing. The second point about this that I love is that the Holy Spirit prays for you in harmony with God's will. You know, when you don't know what to say, use the Holy Spirit's language. When you don't know what to speak, his prayers are pretty awesome. He's really praying. Connect with him and you'll connect your life and purpose as he intercedes on your behalf. He is praying fervently for you. Amen. So beautiful. What a beautiful, glorious gift the Lord has given us in leaving us the Holy Spirit. Point three, speaking in tongues is the language of the Holy Spirit. You know, when we pray in tongues, we jump into the river. That's what's happening. We're experiencing what it means to be in the flow of the river. When you pray in tongues, you're harmonizing with the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 14. "For if I pray in tongues, my spirit is praying, even if I don't understand what I am saying." And there's a beautiful story that I read that made me cry. Get your tissues out. That really just brings this idea home, that really blessed me, that I want to share with you. And it was about a man and a little girl. I love this picture. This is my AI art, by the way. I created this art. Is anyone into AI art? I'm such a nerd. Sorry. All right. So he tells this story. I'm reading this story about this man who's like, I'm going to teach my daughter how to pray. And so he goes in every night and he says, this is how you pray. And then she would repeat the prayers. And then he was like, this is lovely. After a couple of months, he's like, I now need her to learn how to pray on her own. So he says to her, little child, I want you to know it's awesome that you pray with me, but now it's you and Jesus, time with you and Holy Spirit. I want you to learn how to pray for yourself. And she's like, okay, Daddy, that's fine with me. And so she goes into her room. He says goodnight to her, gives her a kiss. They do a little prayer together. And then he goes and he kind of cups his ear to the door to hear what she's saying. And he hears her go, A, B, C, D, E, F, G. And he's like, oh, isn't that cute? And then the next night, same thing. A, B, C, D, E, F, G. This goes on for quite a while. And he starts to go, I think if I don't tell her, she's probably not going to realise that's not really praying. So he goes in and he says, it's awesome that you're learning to pray by yourself, but I just want you to know that it's actually important that you actually really do pray. And he says, I know you're being sincere, but you can't just sing the alphabet. You actually have to pray. She smiled and she says, Daddy, I am praying. I just sing the letters to God and then I leave it to him to make up the words. Oh, that's beautiful. That's what speaking in tongues is like. It's like giving God the sounds and then leaving it up to him to give it meaning. Isn't that fun? And you know, this is the thing about speaking in tongues. We've made it so complicated. We've made it confusing. But the truth is, if we just have childlike faith and we just let him enter our words, it might not make sense to your mind, but it will make sense in the spirit realm. And I want to encourage you, like I said, it is for everyone. You're not going to be overtaken by something. You know, if you've never spoken in tongues before, I want to encourage you. The scripture doesn't say that you're going to be taken over by something. You have control. We know this because Paul, again, writing to the Corinthians, actually had to give them a list of what it's like to have order when speaking in tongues is involved. Now, if we weren't in control, he wouldn't have to have that list of this is what you do when tongues happens in a service. There's scriptures around that. And so the Lord will always expect you to partner, but he leaves it up to you. And so what I would love to do right now, if the worship team can come up, I want you to have amazing stories of what the Lord's going to do in your life. As he is doing. I hear them. You come and tell us, and they're incredible.
Thank you for joining us for this message today. We don't assume that every person listening has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so today, we invite you to begin following Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The Bible teaches that every one of us has been created for a relationship with God. Sin has separated us from that relationship, but God loved us so much that he gave us his one and only Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus lived, died, and rose again, conquering sin, Satan, and death itself. If we believe in our hearts that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. So if you are ready to pray in faith, turning away from your sin and believing in Jesus for your salvation, please pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, and I ask you to forgive me and cleanse my heart from all of my sin. I receive by faith the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that you would fill me with the Holy Spirit. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that you have made me a new creation in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you have prayed that prayer for the first time, we would love to know and help connect you to a local church in your area. You can contact us on our website, pneuma.church. Thank you for listening.